This is KVOO Portland. You're listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour. All progressives know that the increase in migrants arriving at the U.S. border are fleeing intolerable conditions in their home countries and deserving of our compassion and support. These intolerable conditions, we are told, are the root cause of this migration. But that is only the surface cause. The real cause lies deeper. Today I'm sharing an article from the Soapbox webpage entitled "The Root Cause of Central American Migration is Broken U.S. Policies" by Felipe Duoz. Migrants are fleeing their home countries in large part because of the conditions that the United States helped bring about. There's an interesting turn of phrase, the article begins, that comes to dominate the Biden administration's rhetoric around immigration, root causes. The idea of root causes isn't inherently sinister. There are, after all, discrete, identifiable, and systematic issues driving people to uproot their lives and travel to the United States seeking economic and physical safety, these days mostly from the so-called Northern Triangle of Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. While often discussed as if emerging from a vacuum, the state of weakness, corruption, inequality, and domination of organized crime that so often forms the basis of asylum seekers' claims has been created and fomented at every turn by U.S. policymaking. Starting with the Cold War era, covert and overt military intervention and regime change, and continuing through the exporting of gangs like MS-13, originally established in California, through harsh, short-sighted immigration enforcement during the Law and Order late 80s and 90s. There's almost no socio-political economic issue plaguing these countries that doesn't have U.S. fingerprints all over it. The primary root cause of humanitarian migration from Central America is the U.S. government. Of course, these people have also been failed by their own leaders, who have often chosen to save themselves and perpetuate the structural issues that are making the ship go down. But that doesn't mean that we didn't shoot the torpedoes. Yet liberals and conservatives alike are in complete lockstep most of the way, only diverging on very narrow questions about just how cruel it's acceptable to be to desperate migrants and to what extent it's okay to violate federal and international law by turning them away to danger. Pundits and commentators of every stripe have spent the last several weeks pushing Biden to essentially seal off the border to asylum seekers without acknowledging that that Trump holdover policy rests on shaky legal ground. In the near term, it might be viable for U.S. foreign aid to alleviate some of the pressures driving people away from their homes, especially given that, contrary to domestic popular belief, many asylum seekers would have preferred to stay if it had been safe to do so. But we must disabuse ourselves of the idea that this is a path to avoiding asylum flows at all. The U.S. refugee program has historically been pretty robust, though currently in a bad state. But it takes years of applications, checks, and processing for people to actually make it into the country. The administration now appears to be trying to expand the program in Central America in the hopes that if and when other measures aren't enough, migrants will stay out of sight and out of mind for the American public until they're ready to resettle instead of showing up at the border. Still, for people under imminent threat, particularly those able to reach the U.S. border, the clear choice is to make the trek, perilous and uncertain as it may be. And even as Biden tries to reduce these threats in Central America, he'll have to face the looming risk that is set to soon become the primary driver of humanitarian migration, climate change. The unfolding disaster is already driving some refugees from Latin America and the Caribbean, with several countries recently experiencing high-intensity hurricanes, droughts, crop failures, and rising sea levels. What we've seen so far is only a taste of the massive climate migrations to come, and like the political and security instability the U.S. has instigated, it is again primarily responsible for this catastrophe and its consequences, while being best insulated from its fallout. Even as Biden takes some aggressive steps to combat climate change, some of the impact is at this point unavoidable. For millions of people in Central and South America and around the world, climate crisis will make their lives untenable, and they will have to leave. Yet unlike people escaping state repression or violence, climate migrants won't have even the nominal legal protections guaranteed by the current asylum process, which typically requires the former, and which are already often interpreted to exclude those escaping gang violence and economic destitution. Will the U.S. stay firmly entrenched in the notion of humanitarian migration as a nuisance, an unfortunate conundrum, detached from our own direct responsibility? Or will we acknowledge that receiving asylum seekers is not only a legal responsibility, but a moral one, and an atonement for our excesses and short-sightedness? The pressure will always be there to separate cause and effect for the public and our leaders to complain that we can't accommodate everyone, as if it were a favor and they held no accountability. There's still time to consider these questions before the next upswing in arrivals and before the more dramatic effects of climate change, but not that much time. When we find ourselves yet again watching wall-to-wall coverage of the border, will the crisis be that people are still arriving, or will it be that we have washed our hands of their plight? I've been reading from an article entitled "The Root Cause of Central American Migration is Broken U.S. Policies" by Felipe Dua Oz, and is from the Soapbox webpage. Felipe Dua Oz is an investigative reporter focusing on immigration.
The crops are all in and the beaches are rotting. Oranges are backed in the creosote dumps. They're flying and back to the Mexico border. They trade all their money to wade back again. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane.